Good morning, beautiful humans. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Rad as Fuck Women series. This is your host, Molly. And once again, I am super freaking pumped to bring you today's episode. Today, I'm talking with Heather Bourne Elkins, who is the founder of Haya Tootsie and Candy Ass. She's an amazing copywriter, an amazing writer, human being, badass woman, all around amazing. Our conversation is incredible. We talk about her life, her origin story, how she got into all of these amazing things that she is doing. And I don't even have any more words. I just want you guys to hear the episode. So without further ado, here is Heather Bourne Elkins.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you, Heather?
Hey, I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm really stoked to chat with you.
Me too. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So for the people in the audience who don't know you, would you mind introducing yourself and kind of talking about what you do a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Heather Bourne Elkins, and I am the founder and creative director of Haya Tootsie, which is actually in the middle of a rebrand right now. Haya Tootsie was a blog that I started 3 years ago in order to empower women to chase down their dreams very specifically. And somewhere along the way, I kind of realized that I should stop just talking about it and start modeling it.
Crazy.
Yes. And so I've been doing that. I launched a fragrance line called Candy Ass that's been expanding. And most recently, it's just been really hitting me that in order to follow my own dream and to model this to other women, I want to be expanding Haya Tootsie into a full-blown brand, which may be rebranded under my name. I'm not sure yet, but it'll include like cosmetics, fashion, accessories, all kinds of stuff that I don't know how to do yet, but I'm really excited.
It's awesome that you're in a place where you're expanding and rebranding. Also equally awesome that you're willing to be like, I don't know how the hell any of this works, but we're figuring it out.
Dude, seriously. I'm looking at all of these, you know, like well-established brands that have been around for forever. And I'm like, where's the origin story?
Exactly.
Nobody started in like Saks Fifth Avenue and all this stuff. I'm like, what the heck? It's wild, but I'm very excited. And I'm excited to be on the podcast. So thank you for having me again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love, first of all, that you said origin story, because that was going to be my next question. And,
oh, yeah.
Also that you said like the messy process, because that's what I'm all about and what this podcast is all about, empowering women and also really coming together in the messy process and being like, hey dude, like there's shit going down with everybody. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yes. Yep.
So would you mind telling us a little more about the origin story of Heather?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So I am originally from Pennsylvania. So I'm an East Coast girl all the way. And I live currently in Long Beach. I've been in California for maybe 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Went to school for professional writing. So I have my degree in pro writing. I moved out to Indiana to be with a music ministry that was called Keynote at the time. And I was in the marketing department. I was booking bands, writing, just doing all kinds of fun stuff there. And what brought me out to California is I got to a spot where I really wanted to work with women in the adult entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And helping them when they were ready to transition into the next step of life, kind of help with the transition and help them out. And there was a, it's an understatement, but there was a lot of trauma involved in all of it.
Yeah.
So kind of ended up taking on a bit of a social worker-esque role. And I was doing that, working with women in the sex industry for, I don't know, 6 years, maybe 6 or 7 years. I can't quite remember. And it took a major, major toll on me. So I had to step back from my entire journey in missionary work, which is what I've been doing. So I took some time to heal, took a year off, and took some time to heal and figure out my shit. Cause it was like secondary trauma that I was dealing with at that point. So it took some time. I started seeing a therapist, which was awesome.
And everyone should.
Yes. Yes. Everybody, please, no stigma around therapy. It's so kick-ass. So I started seeing a therapist. That was phenomenal.
Yes.
I also started doing some life coaching with one of my girlfriends that I met on staff when we were both at Keynote, my original like ministry spot.
Yeah.
She was a drummer on staff, and she had left staff as well after a few years and went into the life coaching profession and worked with her as well when I was doing therapy. And like one conversation we were having, I was like, you know, I've got my degree in pro writing. I think it'd be killer to try to figure out how to make a living as a blogger. Do you think that's a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's stupid? And she was like, yeah, that's super dumb. You should totally try.
Best person
like,
ever.
Yeah, she's a New Yorker. And so I was like, yes, you're my people. So I looked into it. And you know, 3 years ago, I guess 3.5 years ago, there was something called the Blogcademy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with that, there, have you ever heard of it?
I have. I'm familiar, but I don't know exactly like what the process is and everything.
Yeah. So the women that, I was just researching blogging, and I was like, will I starve if I try to blog?
Right. Will this work, or is it a bad, terrible idea?
Yeah. So in the research process, I ended up stumbling on Gala Darling's blog, and I'd never heard of Gala before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who is this chick who is like my soulmate
right
now? And on her website, she was, you know, billing Blogcademy, and I learned about, I had already knew who Kat Williams was of Rock and Roll Bride. And Shauna Hyder, who I ended up, after I went to the Blogcademy, I ended up hiring her as my designer. And she is the one who designed Hiya Tutsi and Candy Ass. And I've worked with branding. Yeah. So badass. Love her so much.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got my little start and foray. And I launched Hiya Tutsi January 1st, 2015. And I didn't really know what I was doing. I just thought, you know, what I had been doing, the trajectory of my previous career, I am still very proud of the work that I was able to do and the women that I was able to come alongside of and who taught me a lot as well.
Yeah.
It got to a very clear, like, kind of line in the sand where I was like, this line of work is hurting me.
Yeah.
I can't keep doing this. And so what would actually bring me life as well as bringing women, other, you know, life that I'd been doing.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I was just like, I should just try writing and see how it goes.
See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So was there, you mentioned that there was kind of a line in the sand. Was there like a specific moment for you within that ministry work where you were just like, nah, I need to be done?
Yeah. I'm out. Well, you know, so there kind of was. So my work with women in the industry was also branching out. So I moved to Hollywood eventually. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Hollywood for about 3 years. And my work was kind of branching out into meeting like friends of friends of women.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up working with this girl named Camille, who I absolutely adore. And I'm so, so proud of her. She's come such a long way. And she was struggling with heroin addiction.
Mm.
And she was, it sounds kind of funny to say, but she was my first like full-on addict that I was working with. A lot of girls in the industry also were dealing with addiction issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the sex work trauma that they were dealing with kind of trumped all of the addiction stuff. So that was kind of the focus with them.
Gotcha.
But Camille was kind of my first full-on drug addict. I don't know how else to say it. I worked very closely with her, and she's doing great now. She's got a little boy now that she's taking care of, and she's clean, and she's
amazing.
She's rad. Yeah. She's such a rad girl. But so it certainly wasn't her that was the line in the sand, but I think dealing with something as serious as heroin addiction one-on-one after having had so many years with dealing with sexual trauma.
Yeah.
I think that I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like it's been a good run. There have been a lot of people that have been put on a track that they can start helping themselves. But yeah, that was kind of it where I was just like, I need to do something else now.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. One of the reasons that I feel like I was drawn to you in the first place, besides like just your hair, because the first picture I saw of you, I was like, yep, one of us.
Yeah. Yes.
But like, I feel like the first live I ever saw you do, you were talking about like your work in ministry, but then you were like, you were swearing and it was awesome. And I was like, she gets me, because a lot of people don't know, because I haven't talked about it on the podcast much, but I actually worked in ministry working with like college age girls and mentoring and that type of secondary drama for about 6 years as well.
Dude, I know.
That's
part of what Keynote was mentoring college students. Yep.
Yeah. And like, and I knew about Keynote because I actually worked through campus ambassadors. So we were just but
girl,
it was one
of- how exciting.
Right. Oh, we should be friends. Heather.
Yes.
Wow. But it was one of those things where, you like, you come out of that bubble and it's so scary to come out of it. And then you're like, who the fuck am I now?
Right. I'm like, no, really, really.
Yeah.
That was a very serious thing. And when I actually, when I was transitioning from Keynote, which was Campus Crusade at the time and now is Crew.
Yeah.
Transitioning from Keynote into the porn ministry that I was involved in. Coming out of Keynote was an interesting, so there was no trauma associated with Crusade and Keynote. But coming out of that bubble, like you said, was a very interesting process as well. And it certainly prepared me for a lot, because like I literally had to take classes on intentional communication when I was there, which was awesome. Like I'm like, literally everyone in the world needs this. But it's interesting when you come out of a bubble like that, you're like, you're talking to anybody and you're like, why don't you know how to communicate? And you're like, oh, it's because you literally didn't have the same kind of intensive training that I've had. It's a different world.
Yeah, it really is. And so it's like the communication thing, but piled on top of when you're in a bubble like that, like the culture inside that bubble is so opposite in a lot of ways. So when you come out of the bubble, you're not really in the bubble anymore. So the friendships just naturally change. And then you're like, it's a brand new world.
It really is. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So you had that transition, and then probably what sounds like a much rougher transition, but needed from like the porn ministry. Yeah. So how was that transition specifically? Like you started blogging. Was it like a huge learning curve?
Yes and no. Yes, because I was still healing.
Right.
I had done a shit ton of healing over the year that I just took off.
That's huge.
Yeah. You know, and because, I don't know if you relate to this, when I was in missions, we had to raise our own support. Did you have to do that as well?
That to me was traumatic in a lot of ways.
I know. Yeah. Like, I'm like, wow, I have so much money mindset stuff for support raising.
That is huge. That is huge.
Yeah. I am still working through that.
Yep.
So.
Same.
Let's say this. It felt very natural because at my core, I am a writer. And so communication is just, it's kind of my jam. And I'm like, wow, I can do this now. And I can kind of like create my own track. And this is very exciting. But it was also just a little rough because I'm like, man, I did go through quite a bit of healing. What I was going to say with support raising stuff is I ended up obviously sharing with my entire team. So anybody who's listening to this, who's not like in with the missionary world stuff, is like, what the hell is support raising?
Right.
So a lot of people who go into ministry, whether it's like a missions organization, I don't think pastors are just supported by the church. So it's a little different in that scenario, but people who go into missions, a lot of people think missions are overseas, and a lot of missions are overseas. Mm-hmm. I was stationed in the States, and it sounds like you were as well.
Yep. On college campuses in the States.
Right. So basically what it means is for me, I was not allowed to, not allowed. There's a good reason for it. I wasn't allowed to go to my mission field and report basically to start the job until I had raised a certain amount of ongoing monthly support. And so what that looked like was cold calling a lot of people.
gives me the shivers still.
I know. So it's like you talk to your family, you talk to your friends about what you're going to be doing with your life, and kind of sharing the vision of the organization and what you're going to be doing, and ask them if they want to be part of it and join you financially. Because, you know, they're busy, they're doing their own thing, they've got their family, they've got work, they've got whatever. And they wouldn't necessarily be able to drop everything and join you in the on the field. So that's what it is. You basically raise your own salary from lots of people.
And it's like, it's interesting too, because like the missionary work itself is full time. Even if it's part time, it's full time. And then like the raising support, which is basically fundraising, is also full time. So it's like you're having to work two full time jobs just to get paid at all.
So it's a hard track. It really is. It's a hard track. And a lot of people tap out. So this to say, during my year of healing, I contacted obviously everybody on my team because they were the ones supporting me and paying my salary.
Right.
And I just said, hey guys, I have started going to a therapist. I am dealing with all kinds of things that I'd never heard of before or necessarily heard of before, like secondary PTSD. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Burnout, but like clinical burnout, you know, that's a thing. Yeah. So I basically just said, listen, I need to step back from the work. I am going to take a year off. If you want to keep supporting me, great. If you don't, I don't blame you. I'll figure it out. My team, the entire team, this is probably 40 plus people stuck with me during
this
year.
That's amazing.
It was unbelievable. And I mean, most of them, not everybody, because obviously, you know, people come and go on support teams, but a lot of people had been with me for the, 8 or 9 year run that I was in the entire thing between Keynote and the porn ministry.
That's amazing.
I was just super, super blessed that the Lord just kind of allowed me to have some stability. And I mean, I was able to pay to go to therapy and life coaching and all this stuff. So to get back to the blogging thing, it was challenging because I was still kind of coming off of the healing thing. And I was like, I mean, that was literally my career. I graduated college with a writing degree. And I was like, literally, I was like, am I going to go into ministry or am I going to try to hit New York City and work for a magazine?
Right.
And I chose ministry. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't be more opposite world.
Seriously. I was like, oh my God. Like I could have done fashion writing. Like what the hell? But obviously, you know, I learned so much and this is my story.
Yeah. And those things you take with you are really what like built into your voice now.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So the challenging part was I'm coming off of this career that it's all I know. Mm-hmm. And B, the majority, which was the second half, but it was also the majority of the run, was traumatic. It was traumatic work.
Yeah.
So that's why it was hard. But why it was easy is, again, because I'm like, especially after having the career track that I've had, working with so many women, I'm like, I have something to say.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, and, you know, I think now that I've been out of it for the 4 years, I guess, I really do think that I could still have something to say regardless of working specifically with women in the sex industry, working specifically with women dealing with addiction and trauma and all this kind of stuff. I think I think obviously that kind of fast tracked everything of having something to say, because I got to see a lot of forget what the trauma, forget the addiction, the stuff that was beneath that. That not every woman out there is going to deal with major sexual trauma or major addiction. Like, that's not every woman's story. But what is every woman's story are a lot of the issues that underlie those things.
Right.
And so, you know, my work in the industry, so much of it, and even the college girls, when I was on staff with Keynote and I was mentoring these students, so much of what was behind everything were these major confidence issues, self-love issues.
Worthiness.
Yeah, all of the identity stuff. And I think what I'm realizing now that I've been writing for the last 3 years is that, like, a lot of what I was writing about initially was the dream chasing stuff. And then I realized I should maybe take my own advice and pull this. Actually start chasing a dream here.
Yeah.
But I realized so much of this hinging on identity. And I mean, everybody kind of has their own kind of spin on identity. And for me, because I love Jesus, and regardless of all of the bullshit that I endured with ministry, like, still, like, Jesus, that's my track. And I have very specific things that I believe about identity. However, because I've been in the online space for the last 4 years, and I feel like I'm rubbing shoulders with witches, like, all the time. And it's kind of a backstory, but I was into witchcraft. I was a witch prior to my track now.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, like, I get it. And I'm like, wow, witches are like my people.
Right.
I just get it. And I'm like, okay, regardless. So that's kind of another topic. But
yeah,
I feel like because of the work that I had done, and realizing that so much of the work that I'd been doing with women who were dealing with a lot of trauma or addiction was really hinging on identity stuff of these girls and women not getting who they really are and who they are meant to be. And what that impacted, of course, was what they were doing with their lives.
Right.
And so for me, that's where the connection comes into place, where, I mean, I'm like the perfect case study. I'm like, I was in ministry for 9 years. Good. I wanted to be in ministry for 9 years. However, is this my life's calling? Is this what I've been meant to do? Is this my identity? Is this my dream? And the answer has been no.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, a lot of my work is, honestly, it's preaching myself, but I think that's why it hit. And that's why the modeling of going after a dream, because I'm, you know, we're starting the call and I'm like, yeah, I've got a fragrance line and I'm going to figure out cosmetics and fashion. And I'm like, I literally have no freaking idea how to do this. That's the dream. And I'm like, this thing scares me.
Yes.
Crazy. However, I understand who I am. I understand my identity. And I think that's the hinge. That's the point that a lot of women are still working through.
Yes.
And so if we can get there together, because it's not like I freaking arrived. Like, who the hell is going to arrive?
You know? When we're dead.
Right, exactly. So it's like, if we can do this together, if we can be on this journey together and figure this out together and start really understanding and honing into what makes us tick, what makes you unique, because there has literally never been anyone, past, present, or future, who is exactly like you, who is you, who has your fingerprints, who is designed to have a specific role in the history of the world. So it's like, I think about that shit and it trips me out, because I'm just like, here. So let's for example this thing. For example, let's say a woman is going to be, and I'm sure there's going to be like a team of people, but like, we're just for exampling this. Let's say a woman is the one who comes up with the cure for cancer. And let's say that's her destiny. That's what she is here to do. And let's say that chick doesn't have a fucking clue who she is, why she should try sitting on her couch, and she's just like, I might as well just go get a job because I just don't know.
Right.
Like, what? That's insane to me. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I think about that trips me out. And yeah. I'm just like, dude, who knows? Who knows what you are meant to do unless you just sink in to what has always lit you up. Because there's always something. And then give it a shot.
Yeah, even if it's weird as shit. Like, and I'm like nodding my head so much because this is the freaking reason why I'm doing this podcast and why I do what I do is the whole thing of like empowering women specifically to find their voice.
Yes.
And what that looks like and what that sounds like. Because it's like such a simple phrase, but it's such a, it's a complicated process and it's like a hard process. But it's easy at the same time because once you start learning how to trust your intuition and your gut and you start feeling that thing, like you were saying with writing, it doesn't have to be like this hard thing. Like I'm a painter, and for a long time I was like, well, I don't know if this is my thing because it's easy for me. Like I felt I had this this wrong mindset that it had to be excruciatingly hard for it to be the thing. And it's bullshit, right?
Yeah. That's so funny. That's that's really rad. So all of my best friends are visual artists. Awesome. And I'm like the sole friggin' writer out of the
group. We need the writers though.
Yeah, well, okay. So one of my best friends, Kristen, she is a painter as well. She went to school for graphic design, but I mean, she's like one of those artists that she touches everything and you're like,
well, geez.
I hate you a little bit.
Right.
I love you, but wow. You know? Yeah. So she's so funny. She's awesome. She literally will walk into whatever, a Michael's, a Hobby Lobby, an AC Moore, and she'll start crying because she's so overwhelmed with joy about what she can create.
I'm the same way. Yeah, it's so lame and wonderful.
No, it's so good. I love that. I love that. And it's the same thing. It made me, your story made me think of her because she's the exact same way. It comes naturally to her. And so she thinks, is this what I should be doing?
Right.
And it's
should
like,
this be harder?
Hello. But I'm the same way. I'm like, for example, so right now I'm like, I'm looking at Hiya Tutsi and I'm just like, you know, I don't know that this is the name that I want to move forward with. And so that's like a whole nother, like just branding kind of thing. But I'm looking at this and I'm just like, so my husband, Kyle, we just got married 4 months ago.
I know. Congrats, by the way. You guys are the freaking cutest. Every time I see a picture, I'm like, oh my God, stop. You're so disgustingly
thank you.
Cute.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
He's so great. Yes. So I say to him all the time, I'm like, babe, I literally don't give a shit what the products are. Like I do, because I'm like having a fragrance line. Hella fun. Like, I love it. And like wanting to, like with cosmetics, I want to branch specifically into lipsticks, you know, and then like take it from there. Right. And I'm like, or like with fashion, I'm like, I do not know about how to make pants, but I think it'd be cool how to make booties because all of the freaking boots that I wear, I'm like, the heels are like 8 inches. I'm like, who the hell?
Right.
Who the hell is going to wear these? I want I wish I could, but I can't. But it's like that kind of stuff. So I say to him all the time, I'm like, so obviously I do care. I care. Like I love beauty. I love fashion. But on the general care level, I'm like, I literally don't care what the products are. I care about the message behind them. And that goes back to who I am because I'm a writer. I'm a communicator. And, you know, I look at all. So like I get geeked out because I'm like, who the hell am I? I'm not a makeup artist. I didn't go to school for fashion. Like, who the hell am I to think that I can waltz into a lab and make the next greatest lipstick? Who the hell am I to think that I can stand toe to toe with Too Faced or Urban Decay or whoever? Right?
You're Heather Bourne Elkins. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Dude, so that's the thing, though. So like the like imposter syndrome comes out strong.
And it's good to say that because I think women especially need to be reminded that at every level of business and career and whatever, we all have that. So like, it's all something we struggle with and something that you can not make the prevailing voice in your head.
Yeah, no, so. Really, really. And that's the work.
Yep.
And that's the thing. I'm looking at all this and I'm like, who the hell am I? But I'm looking at this, like you said, and I'm like, you know, I'm the only me that there is.
Yep.
And I look at these companies that I freaking adore, like Too Faced, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm like, okay, I am not Jared Blandino. I did not get my start working behind a makeup counter. I
right.
did not grow this, like, I did not sell to Estee Lauder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not my story. That's his story.
Right.
My story is working with a shit ton of women, seeing a shit ton of patterns,
mm-hmm.
and being a writer. I'm a writer that is getting ready to go into this foray of a world that I know nothing about, but I know how to connect with women, and I know how to inspire women, and I know how to lead the charge. That's mm-hmm. what I know how to do. And so if I can use products that I love anyway, and that everybody like, who doesn't like freaking smelling good and having cool lips?
Right.
Give me a break. Everybody loves that. You
yeah.
know, like if I can make products of excellence and have my own artistry and my, you know, all my best friends who are artists and have that level of artistry and professionalism in products, but have the heart and my prior professionalism of knowing how and knowing what women need and want.
Mm-hmm.
That's my track. And
yeah.
so I'm saying this now and I'm like, I'm going to have to listen back to this.
Hell yes. Actually, it's been funny yeah. because all week we've been having conversations like this where it's like, we're going to have to like listen back as soon yeah. as this is like posted.
Yeah.
All kinds of inspirational conversations that That's are awesome. Inspirational to ourselves as well.
Yeah, seriously. Yes. Yes.
Yep. That's so good. So I love what you're doing. And I love that because really it seems like the landscape, which is a beautiful freaking time to be alive and be an online business.
Oh my God.
Because
yeah.
the landscape is moving more and more towards like lifestyle brands. I don't even really like that term, but like
sure.
focused around a message and a person
yep.
that's
yep.
real and authentic and a story that everyone around them can relate to.
Right.
And it's easy in that way because the more honest and real you're being with that, the more you're going to attract that tribe of like fans that love you, but also, you know, like friendships, community that are like
yes.
raving. And that way,
yes.
you know, like sleazy marketing doesn't need to happen because
yeah.
they're
yeah.
just like so excited about you and your message that it's mm-hmm. just like, hey, I have this new thing. And it's like, great, it's mm-hmm. sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you know what? No, you're totally right. And so this is another piece of the journey that were you in Being Boss? Is that how we met? I'm not even sure how we met.
I have been in Being Boss. I feel like, I don't even know. I think
I
just like showed up. I think you were doing a live at one point earlier last year and you just kind of showed up in my feed. Maybe Facebook was like, you guys should be friends.
Yeah.
And I was just like
Destiny.
Watching you live and I
yeah.
remember being like, fuck yes, girl.
Yeah. Awesome.
So. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, so, okay. So we've been in Being Boss
mm-hmm.
together, right? At some
yeah.
point. And I remember when I launched Candy Ass, the fragrance line, two years ago, I guess now.
Yeah.
I talked about it a lot in Being Boss and was getting a lot of help literally every step of the way. Like, which color mailer do you think I should use? Kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And people were excited. I was excited. I'm still excited, you know? But I had a lot of people coming to me and saying, you need to focus on this in particular. Do not waste your time trying to make money doing something else. Okay, so I have something to say about that.
Good. Say it, girl.
Okay. So I think, first of all, I actually do think that's good advice if you can take it.
Right.
If you are independently wealthy or you've been working a job for years and you have saved up and you can take some months off where you're not having any income come in.
Right, right.
Freaking A, more power to you. Do
mm-hmm.
it. That was not my story as a missionary.
No.
No, you don't, like, nobody goes into missions to, like, bring in the Benjamins, right?
Nope.
So, like, I'm like, cool advice, not going to take it.
Right.
So when I launched Hiya Tootsie as a blog
in 2015, I did not end up making money from it. I started a Patreon in order to, I'm like, if people are reading this and they like it and they want to support, it was kind of the same model of supporting mm-hmm. someone monthly.
Yeah.
That I was like, this is very familiar to me, but now it's with my artistry, my writing. So we can do this. Patreon. Mm-hmm. Patreon has been great. And I'm still on Patreon mm-hmm. to a much smaller scale. I think I've got 5 people on my team and it's bringing in like $80 a month.
I mean, every little bit.
Every little bit. Yeah. yes. But so I'm like, I literally was like, this is not working for me right. on a financial level.
Right.
So it became, I'm like, what can I do? So I have my writing degree. My mom would be very pleased if I started using it to earn an income, right?
Right.
So I, in being boss, I started making a lot of connections. You know, I was doing my thing with Candy Ass, but I started making a lot of connections of being able to write for other entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so for a year, I was kind of getting my feet wet of learning how to write about pages and whatever, like just web copy in general, mm-hmm. and getting paid for it. And it, you know, this might sound sort of shitty, but it just is what it is. I was getting paid entrepreneur to entrepreneur rates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that it is what it is. Everybody's trying. Everybody's starting.
We're working on it.
Yeah. It's what ended up helping to sustain me.
Right.
So what I eventually, I don't even know how, stumbled into was a group called the Six Figure Freelancer.
Mm-hmm. I'm in that group too. So maybe.
Okay, cool. So Jenny Ferris and Alexandra Alex mm-hmm. Grzynski, they're the women that run this thing. And mm-hmm. basically this was a year ago. No, yeah, it was mm-hmm. the beginning of last year. Jenny released a pitching course.
Mm-hmm.
I told my parents came last year to my parents are in Pennsylvania. They flew out to Cali to meet Kyle's family for the first time. This was before we were engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just found out about this course. And of course, like anything that I find out about that I'm excited about, I'm just going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I get it.
I'm an excitable person. Uh-huh. So I was just telling everybody, I was like, I think I'm going to do this, but I don't know. It's $600 and it's an investment. And I think if I learn how to pitch and I learn how to pitch these like companies, like mm-hmm. big companies, this might be a smart track for me to earn an income while I am building my dream.
Right.
My parents ended up gifting me the $600 for Christmas last year.
That's amazing.
I know. Mom and Dad, you're the best. Yeah. And so I was able to take this course, this pitching class, and learned how to pitch. I started, of course, started pitching the big guns right away.
Because mm-hmm, why not?
I had interviews with Ipsy, Bath and Body Works, Too Faced got their attention. Mm-hmm. Kendu, they're a brand incubator. So like Kat Von D, Beauty, Marc Jacobs, Fenty, they're all under Kendu. So I ended up having some interviews, ended up just kind of having some email conversations. Those guys, most of them, well, and none of them worked out because they were all looking for people in-house.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a major confidence booster to be like, wow, I am on the phone with Ipsy and Bath and Body Works right now. Like, what?
Hell yes.
Okay.
I mean, the worst that could happen is they say no and it's experience,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yeah. So this to say, all of last year was making a very conscious decision to realize like, hey, this idea of going full force into just building my dream and building my brand, that's cute. And if if you can do it, please do it. Seriously. But I could not. And so I had to come up with another way. And I basically had to create a day job for myself.
Yeah.
So I did. And I ended up with Jenny and Alex joining the mastermind that they offered with a six-figure freelancer. And I was in it for about 5 months. And in that, it was just more of like an intensive group coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Learned more about pitching, learned how to write,
First of all, learn how to get on the freaking phone with a major company.
Right.
Not like be an idiot. learned how to write a proposal, learned how to get better at writing proposals, and learned how to close a deal. Mm-hmm. So this last year has been learning this new skill to create a day job for myself. I ended up working with Man Crates on retainer. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for them to come through again. They're like restructuring all kinds of stuff. And so it's been an excellent relationship. And I'm thinking a new retainer is going to start with them like within the next month.
But that's awesome.
Yeah, worked with Man Crates. I am currently working with Sexy Hair, which has been
Congrats on that.
Exciting. Thank you. Yes. So exciting. So all this to say, I don't want anyone to listen to this and be like, oh, cool, she's got this thing and she's got this other thing and she's going for this thing. Like, no, this is a lot of fucking work. Like,
yeah.
literally yesterday I was literally, to give you like a little like snapshot into my real life, I was literally on the floor of our living room yesterday whining to Kyle about how hard this is, because it is.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, so this is my plan. So the whole reason I started sharing this in the first place was because you were talking about the trajectory of how online business is going. Mm-hmm. and just not having kind of the big tactic marketing, but the kind of influencer.
Right. And relationships.
Yeah.
Stuff
the
like
relational
that.
Stuff. So also with Jenny and Alex in the Six Figure Freelancer, they had another offering, and this is something that they've been doing in their business and have been seeing a ton of success with, is influencer outreach. Mm-hmm. So they will pitch these multimillion-dollar companies like Sexy Hair, for example. Mm-hmm. And they will pitch influencer outreach, which looks like being the middleman for running campaigns between the brand.
Yep.
And the influencer. Mm-hmm. Because that is the landscape of marketing right now. Everything is influencer.
Mm-hmm.
So this to say, I'm also in this class right now because I'm like, this is quite a skill to add to the repertoire here of my, of the second business that I created, the day job that mm-hmm. is eventually going to be funding the dream job.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm in the very beginning. I'm on a small retainer, 2-month retainer. So like, just to keep it real, I'm on a small 2-month retainer with Sexy Hair, just to give it a shot mm-hmm. for them to make sure that they like me, right?
Right. So that adds a little bit of stress to things.
It does. And you know what? It's very reminiscent of support raising, because you're just like, is this going to work out? Is it not?
Are they going to pay me again next month or not?
Yeah,
I'm not really sure.
Yep. So the point, though, is to be pitching these companies who have the means to pay you, right?
Right.
So it's different from working with other entrepreneurs who are just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And pitching them what they need, whether it's, for me, whether it's content or copy or what will be influencer outreach.
Right.
And having this foray to be like, listen, you guys, you're a multi-million-dollar company, standing O mm-hmm. to you, because I am not. So good job.
Right.
You
know?
But I see an area that I have become
mm-hmm.
and am continuing to become an expert in.
Yep.
But I think that I really could help you with this. So why don't we work on this together?
Yeah.
And so like another company I have a proposal on the table with is a company called WeVibe.
Ooh.
And yeah. Oh my God.
Yes.
Okay. So this is like a little aside, because I was in an area of the sex industry for many, many years.
Yeah.
And went to many, many porn conventions mm-hmm. and saw many, many toys.
Right. You're familiar.
I'm familiar. And most of them are like either like hilarious or like kind of offensive.
Right. Dark.
Just like, what in the hot hell?
Right.
Yeah. But so WeVibe, totally different.
That's awesome.
Vibe. Yeah. Yeah. And so I had a really fantastic phone call. I have a proposal, a blogging proposal on the table with them, which is also what I'm doing with Sexy Hair. It's content.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to land them as clients on retainer,
doing one specific thing and being able to serve them in one specific way and then growing the relationship and obviously growing the retainer.
Yeah.
So all of this to say, this is the track. This is what the hard as hell. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Hard as hell. Time dividing track.
Yeah.
That I am choosing to be on because I have my eye on a bigger prize, which is speaking into the identity of women.
Absolutely.
Around the world.
Mm-hmm.
With what? Fragrance and lipstick and shoes, right?
Well, yes. So, like, well, it's like that. I can't remember what the quote is, but it's really like you market or you speak to what they think they want so that you can have an influence on what they actually need.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So
yeah,
like,
that's great. Yeah,
sounds
yeah.
good to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, part of it too with A, it's like, I need to have a little bit of stability with me and Kyle just as like people.
Yeah. You know.
I need to be pulling in an income for us.
Yeah.
You know? But then the goal, of course, is to be continuing to pitch like crazy and land these retainers and be making more than we personally need.
Yes.
And we don't need a whole lot. And so to be making more than we need so that I can invest that extra into what I'm planning on doing. Because I think especially, so I just launched like, I don't know, last week, I guess,
mm-hmm.
my personal private Facebook group called Tootsie Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like kind of my own little brand incubator for everybody who has skin in the game with me. Everybody mm-hmm. who's purchased a bottle of Candy Ass or even the mini, like the little sample bottle somewhere along the way in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Who is on board and is excited to see this turn into a thing.
Yeah.
I want, so I, like literally like, because my time is divided, I'm like pitching like crazy. I'm trying to build this freelance business so that I can be part of the sustaining of my marriage. Right?
Yeah.
But also, and I'm a stepmother now. And so I'm looking at supporting this amazing little girl,
mm-hmm.
like sort of a big deal. And so trying to figure that piece of life out, but also looking at the bigger picture of providing for this dream.
Mm-hmm.
And my time is divided between doing this and building this business,
right?
Of writing and what will eventually be influencer outreach and researching all of this stuff. And part of researching looks like, so how do businesses actually get financed?
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, there's like loan investors, there's angel investors, there's credit cards, there is crowdfunding,
mm-hmm.
there's all kinds of stuff. And it's important to me because I've put myself in a position where I am modeling
yeah.
what this can look like, what it can look like, one of the avenues it can look like to other women.
Yeah.
I want to have skin in the game with myself.
Yeah.
I want to be doing the work, doing something that frankly, I don't really want to be doing
mm-hmm.
in order to get to where I want to go
mm-hmm.
because I know that I can do it this way. I'm like, okay, so I could either go work at Carl's Jr. or build a freelance business. Like,
right. Those are the options.
I'm going to choose. Yeah.
Right. So, well, like, and it's interesting to everyone in the audience, too, that like thinks that I'm getting paid through podcasting. That's not a thing yet. And I'm like, and I'm working towards it. It's the same, similar to you. It's just a different track. I'm like phasing out of my quote unquote day job with like a home decor company. I'm working on diversifying my income streams, which means that I'm working on a shit ton of things all the time. Like,
right.
So it's like good
the
for everyone to know,
lifestyle.
Right. That
yeah.
there's lots of stuff and lots of hustle going on. Like,
yes.
It's not just like, oh, hiya Tootsie. And that's it. You know, like,
look at me. Yeah, no, it's not a thing.
Right.
Yeah, and so it's become important to me, I think, just on a modeling scale,
mm-hmm.
especially because I'm reading about angel investors and venture investors and all this stuff. And I'm like, these guys, whoever these guys are, they're not going to invest unless you've invested into your own business.
Yes.
So if that's the case on that, like playing field,
mm-hmm.
why would I consider going to my crew who already does have skin in the game with me? Because so like in my private Facebook group, I'm allowing it only for people who have bought for me because not because I'm trying to move bottles, but because I'm like these people, like you're
right.
in with me.
You've invested.
Into,
right.
Yeah. Why would I
go to the, now I know how to raise money. I did it for 9 years. I know how to do this. Mm-hmm. Why would I go to them and ask them who are following their own dreams because they're in with me, right? Like that's their shtick. That's what they're excited about. Why would I ask them to put their hard-earned money on the table that they're trying to invest in their own stuff that they've got going on that is equally as exciting mm-hmm. as what I'm doing if I'm not willing to do the hard work too? It's bullshit. Yep. I would never do that.
Hell yes. 100,000% with you.
Yeah. And it's really hard.
It's so hard. Right? Yes. It sounds so great. And it like really gets us pumped up when we're having this conversation. And then you have to do the day to day of it. And it's like not easy at all.
No.
Totally get it. But
I think it's important to be able to share. And the thing is, everybody has a different story.
Yeah.
Like I can't. So like, for example, Kyle is hyper into men's fashion and he's freaking good at it. Like he's got an eye like you wouldn't believe. And so like
it's pretty obvious.
Right? Yeah, like my little fashionista.
Yeah.
I told him about Sophia Amoruso, Nasty Gal, Girl Boss, all this stuff. When I don't even know if it still is, but when the show was on Netflix, we were watching a few of the first episodes. And I was like, babe, like, this is like literally you. This is how this chick got started. She would go vision shopping. She'd put shit on eBay. She'd make money. And look who she is now.
Right.
And it's that kind of thing. That's her story. And like with Kyle, who knows what he is going to be doing with his life.
Right.
With anybody, with you, who knows where you're going to end up going. But everybody's story is different, but it doesn't mean that everybody's story is a cakewalk. I think everyone would be hard pressed to say, hey, my story was super easy.
No, like, and all the interesting ones. I mean, first of all, you're a human being. So like everyone has their shit sandwich. You just get to pick which ones, like, right? Like,
sure. Yeah.
But I mean, every woman I've talked to on this interview thing series that I'm doing, everyone's got crap and hard things and heartache and darkness, but they're all catalysts for different parts and pivots of our story. So they all build into that voice. So, you know, it's worth it.
It really is. Well, let me ask you this. So you're obviously passionate about you're an artist. You're passionate about the podcast. So cool that you're bringing all of these women to give voice to everybody and everybody's story. So what was the draw for you to start the podcast?
So for me, and thank you for asking me a question. I mean, I'm supposed to be interviewing you, but.
No, I'm so interested. This is one of your passions.
No, it is. It's absolutely. And it's core for me because the whole drive behind it really is that I've gone through some major life transitions of my own, pretty much in every way. and I won't go into all of it, but basically a deconstruction of everything that I was in my previous season of life. And at first it was something where I was like, well, was this all a lie? You know, I had to go through that whole transition. And now in a place where I'm like, okay, I'm exploring my voice. I'm finally willing to say like no to all of these things that I felt like I had to say yes to. Sure. So I know who I am and I know how empowering that is to come to a place where you're like, fuck, I can make choices in my life. And it's so empowering. And I talked to so many women, influencers, not influencers, moms, not moms, like all different kinds of women on the daily who feel so like disempowered and who will say things like, I'm sure you've gotten this before too, Heather, where they'll be like, oh, I wish I could be cool like you. Or,
oh my God. The thing that's been happening recently, this is like literally four times in the last 2 weeks. Cause I'm like thinking about them online cause I'm like a visual.
Yeah.
I've been having people say, I want to be you when I grow up.
No.
No. You know, like I'm flattered. Thank you, but no.
Yeah. And I get that all the time as well. Yeah. And I've gotten that for years. And
And I'm always so sad when I hear that. Like that, to me, that's not really an ego boost. To me, that's like, no, girl, like you want to be, you know, Clarissa, like you want to be you. And, and it's always been my passion. It's interesting because my life has taken so many pivots. Like I'm a super like certified teacher, but I'm not in that field anymore. And, just lots of things that I've done that have all kind of coalesced into revealing this core is that I love seeing like the magic in people and like grabbing that and pulling it out of them.
Yes.
Like,
that's,
and that's who I am. That's love Molly. It. Like that at my core is my thing. And like, I love visual art and painting, but it all has to do with evoking that in other people. Like, I would stop painting that today if it meant that someone could like realize who they are. You know what I mean? Like I'm so much more about that than anything else. Everything else kind of is a byproduct of that. And like as a result of that. So that's why I started this podcast was because number one, I love podcasts as a medium. I think audio is really freaking rad because there's a lot more openness I've noticed, especially with women who are like introverted, don't want to be on video. You know, just talking to each other. So I wanted to start this to be number one, to show everyone that they are darling and freaking loved in the rage of life, right? In the messy freaking process, which is why we're Darling Rage Nation. That's like the core of it.
And it's a really cool, seriously, as a writer, when I saw that, I was like, what a cool name.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, that has been, that Darling Rage thing, brand, whatever, has been a work that's in progress since, you know, the last 3 years. So thank you. That means a lot coming from you. But this series in particular, I mean, it's never been more exciting to me to be a woman. And we're just in such an interesting, tumultuous, but like amazing time where things are coming to the surface and women are finally realizing that they have a voice and that they can use it. So I wanted to create a series and a platform that might go on forever. I don't know. My goal is 100 women, but I think I'm going to smash that. And like, so, but I want women of all types and from all backgrounds to have a platform to speak and also to learn from each other and to encourage each other and to empower each other and kind of a catalog to see like, we're all so different, but there are all these like normal things connectors. That are core connectors. Like we all have imposter syndrome. We've all gone through shit. We all, you know, so that's basically, I guess, the longer answer to your question, but that's why I'm passionate about this. Yeah.
I love it. You know what? And it makes sense to me too, that you're a visual artist with when you were sharing about the podcast, because if your core is to pull out and to evoke emotion, I mean, you go into a museum, everybody's going to have a different interpretation of the same piece.
Absolutely.
Because they're putting themselves in it. And so that makes sense to me. I'm like, God, of course.
Yeah, and that's also why I'm an abstract artist, because I love.
I love that.
Because to me, it's like there's even more entry points because it's so ambiguous that it's like, I almost don't like explaining to people what my feelings were going into a piece. I'd much rather be like, well, what does that make you feel like? I'm so much more interested in that. I love it. Well, I'm like so freaking jazzed.
And oh my gosh, me too. Thank you so much for having me. This has been super fun.
Thank you so much for coming on. I just have two very quick little questions to finish up with. The first one is, if you could give our audience a piece of advice, what would it be?
The question to end all questions. Let's see. piece of advice. I think the piece of advice, and this is advice that resonates with me as well, that I really need to be taking, is to like dive deep into the core of who you are. Of who you are becoming, and notice yourself.
Yes.
Like, so for example, I, again, writer, right?
Yeah.
I love spoken word poetry. Like, it is my mother effing jam. Like, I love it, love it, right? And so I'm like, oh, I'm building this brand. What can I do? Blah, I can't do spoken word. That's a totally different avenue. That's ridiculous. No. What if, for example, what if eventually when I'm ready to have an ad, a video advertisement, what if I have a piece of spoken word behind that shit?
I'm like already snapping. Like,
yes. Are you kidding me? So great. Girl. So here's the advice. Notice yourself.
Yes.
And don't count different parts of yourself out, because every single one of us is a creative being, because we are, in my belief system, we are created beings. And so whether that is something that you believe or not, that we're created beings, I think everybody would agree on some level that we are creative beings. And so if there are pieces of you that you're like, this lights me all the way the hell up, but I don't know what to do with it, so I'm just not going to do anything with it. No. Don't count yourself out. So just on the very core, and take it however you want. Just notice yourself. Notice the things that you're like, this is who I am. This is what I naturally like. Ask your friends. Who am I? They know. I like ya.
Yeah. So good.
Because really you'll have other input that you're like, yes, I forgot that this is something that I am about. I forgot this is something that I love.
Yeah.
And so just take the time to notice.
Yeah, absolutely. The best advice. Snapping. And the last question that I have that I totally didn't prepare you for, but we are making a Rad as Fuck Women playlist, which I'm super, super excited about. So I'm asking everyone that I interview to contribute one of their favorite songs. So what would be yours?
Let me hop onto my Spotify.
Hold on. I know it might be the hardest question yet.
this is a good one. I just posted in the Tootsie Crew group a song. Hopefully Spotify isn't just gonna start playing. What the heck? Okay. Let's see. I'm picturing the album cover, and it's this girl who's like throwing up gold glitter.
is it Santa Gold?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's called Creator.
Yep. All right, yep. I'm writing it down. That's a great album. And I love that Kyle, I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Kyle's the one who introduced me to her, and I'm just like, oh, it's so sick. It's so good.
And I can see that being something that you jam to with, like, it's like real heavy, like rhythm. Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, that's perfect. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Heather. This has been rad as fuck.
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me. And seriously, thank you for doing what is in you to do, because it gives other women opportunity to find their voice, to share their story. So thank you for doing your thing, because if you wouldn't, we wouldn't be able to have this platform either. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And thank you and all the hugs. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day, Heather.
Thank you so much, girl.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Wasn't that conversation so good? Oh my goodness. They just keep on getting better and better. I cannot wait to share more with you babes next week. If you're enjoying the Darling Rage Nation podcast and this Rad as Fuck Women series that we've been doing, please be sure to go on iTunes or any other platform that you are listening to this on and leave a rating and review. If you leave a sweet review, I'm doing this thing where I'm going to start shouting you guys out. So if you leave a review on iTunes telling me how much you've been loving this interview series, I'm going to give you a shout out in the next couple of episodes. And I think that's just going to be a fun way to connect us and get the podcast a little more visible. So thank you so much for listening, babes. You guys are amazing. As always, you can come and hang out with me on Facebook, Darling Rage Creations, or on Instagram at The Darling Rage. Can't wait to see you there. Hope you have a fantastic remainder of your week. And as always, rage on, darlings.